Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I'm going to do, but later you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now, the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look at me as I have said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Jesus got up from the table. Important and nearly overlooked information on a day all about washing feet. Jesus, comma, got up from the table. What this means is the action had begun. Jesus and his disciples were already eating, sharing a standard Jewish meal. No one suspected this break in the action, that Jesus getting up from the table was to wash feet. Can you imagine the chitter-chatter of the 12 disciples as they were eating, reclined, maybe moving about, asking for more bread, more wine over here, jockeying for position, perhaps pestering Jesus with all sorts of questions? "Jesus, what happened in the temple? What did you do?" Boasting, teasing, bragging. Maybe they're just weary. We don't know. Scripture doesn't say. Are they wondering about their families? Do they miss them? Are they looking over at Judas? And then there are these words, between, after, Jesus, comma, got up from the table, that add to what's going on. And there is a lot going on with Jesus at this time and place in the story. Scripture gives us four added bits of information, and they are big bits. Number one, Jesus knows his time has come to die. Wow. Here he is at the table with 12 of his friends, his followers, and he knows his time has come to die. Number two, Jesus is filled with love for all of these 12 around the table, and not just these 12, but everyone he has encountered in his entire time of mission and ministry on earth. Time to die, filled with love. Number three, Jesus knows Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, is in the very act of betraying him. Even while they're sitting around and eating, Jesus knows he is being betrayed by Judas. And number four, Jesus knows he comes from God and is going back to God. Jesus knows exactly who he is. Four really big bits of information. All of this moving within Jesus at the same time that Jesus, got up from the table. Then Scripture gives us this. He takes off his robe. All he has on now is a tunic. I did a little research, and a tunic in the days of the Bible only goes to about here. And the only ones who wear a tunic for the most part are servants, slaves, chattel. I think by now he's starting to get the disciples' attention. They are looking at him. He ties a towel around his waist. He pours water into a gets down onto the ground and starts to wash feet. The disciples must be shocked, as now Jesus, their teacher and their master, the one they have been following month after month, is now washing their feet. Do they protest? I can imagine what they're saying. Can you not imagine what they are saying? Jesus, no. You cannot wash our feet. Please, no, get up. What are you doing? This is an action reserved for servants and those enslaved, and you, Jesus, are in a tunic. Simon Peter can't stand it. He declares, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answers him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no share with me." Peter can't stand the thought. He just can't stand the thought. But what he did not understand when Jesus said, "You will have no share with me," is what? Oh, Peter. Oh, all of us. What do we not understand? Years ago, I had a teammate at a church that I worked at that was a parish nurse. Her name was Joyce. And she was an advocate for many, many wonderful things. And one of the things she was an advocate for was clean socks for folks who didn't have them. She partnered with others in creating a free foot care clinic downtown Sioux Falls. The clinic was held over a period of several months. Nurses volunteered their time bathing feet, washing feet, clipping toenails, applying ointment, looking for telltale signs of diabetes, listening with the pastoral care heart, referring to a doctor, free doctor care if necessary. And those of us who weren't nurses, we welcomed the guests who came into the door, and we offered clean pairs of socks to folks who maybe hadn't had clean socks in a very long time. And they came from members of our congregation who gifted these socks. It was powerful ministry. Joyce and her team modeled a ministry of hope, selflessness, kindness, and love. Foot care clinic, tying on towels, basins filled with warm water. Selfless, kindness, love. A foot care clinic. Foot washing work. Good work. Now, back to Peter. Maybe back to us. Peter couldn't stand the thought of having his feet washed by Jesus because he could not understand following someone acting like a slave, like the lowest of the low, like chattel. Peter is all about reprimanding Jesus. You can almost hear him saying, "Stop acting this way. You are Lord. This is beneath you. You are of God. This is not godly work." And here is Jesus saying, "Unless I wash you, you have no part of me." Now, I think Peter understood love. After all, he has been following Jesus for months and witnessing Jesus' acts of incredible love, right? But he wrestled with the parts of love inside of him that were defective, as one of the commentaries I was researching suggested. A defective love. This sounds like maybe us too. This is where we can put ourselves in the story. Put yourself in the story. I know I have to put myself in here. We see ourselves like Peter, not wanting our feet washed by Jesus. We follow a God who redefines love completely. The humblest of acts, washing dirty feet, a metaphor for all the hidden parts of our lives, between our toes, the bottoms of our feet, all the places our feet have taken us that we don't want to talk about, that we are not proud of. And we need it, dear people, the witness of Jesus to do a forgiving work, not to judge. Not to judge, but to forgive and to love. And Peter struggled to understand this. I struggle to understand this kind of love. Our Lord and Savior got up from the dinner table because he knew the time had come to put on the towel. "Unless I wash you, you will have no share with me." Jesus finished washing the feet of all the disciples. The foot care clinic around the table had completed for all 12. Even Judas, sitting right over here, Judas got his feet washed. Even Judas. This 12 pairs of feet washing story is rich with meaning for all of us who follow Jesus. This washing and sharing can represent cleansing of sin, Jesus' death and resurrection. It can symbolize baptism and Jesus as living water. Remember the woman at the well? And can be the word of God. All is life-giving. All is part of God and of God. The source, the beginning of being set free, which we'll sing about in just a bit, especially for dear Peter, especially for you, and especially for me. Jesus put the robe back on, and he sat down at the table, and he asked Peter and his disciples, "So do you know what I have done for you?" And he wasn't trying to trick them or pick on them with this question. It took this act of washing feet by Jesus, the one the disciples had been following all this time, and the one common daily practice done by those who had no recognizable place in the world and for no one who followed. No one follows a slave. It took this witness for them to stop and hear what Jesus, their teacher, was saying. And here it comes, the last teaching moment from Jesus to his disciples, and he saves the best for last. "Oh, Jesus, you do it again." And this is what Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you as an example that you should do as I have done for you. And then he says this, I give you a new commandment, amande, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also should love one another. Washing feet, my friends, means what? You know, loving and serving all in the room, the whole room, no judgment. No matter what we find between those toes while washing. No fanfare introduction, just a towel tied around the waist. It will take practice for us washing feet, the humblest of acts. And Jesus shows us the way and we follow. It's going to take practice, showing up in ways we must help one another. Imagine to lend a hand, to listen. During COVID-19, it will literally mean thinking outside of the foot washing basin. It will mean listening and texting and FaceTiming and supporting folks who are struggling financially, helping our kids with schoolwork and following through with your spiritual practice, your prayer practice, breathing in and out. And finding all the creative ways you can to send positive messages. Peace and good to you this Monday, Thursday. And remember these words from Servant Jesus. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Amen.